All right, where's one to duck? Good morning. What's up?
Buenos dias.
On with the morning brew.
Oh, the morning brew, man. We have so many things. We have some inspirational things to talk about. We have, so many. I can't even tell you. It's early. We have a lot to talk about. Let's just get to it.
Good morning. What's up, y'all? Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning. Sammy's eating breakfast. I hope you all had a good night's sleep. It is Thursday morning, April 14th, and we are hanging out once again. I'm actually working from home today, so I'm chilling right now. I'll probably be heading out a little bit.
Good life. But
yeah, no. It's nice to have everyone. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the channel. Hit the like button, comment below, hit the bell so that you know when we do, in fact, go live every morning on Thursday, April 14th, and even on some Wednesday and Tuesday nights. So check that out. But what's going on with you, Sammy? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning. I'm looking, number one, every time I come to my office and I look out the window, I'm on the second level, so I see the skyline. And the treetops, and it's such a beauty. And I get the pleasure of seeing the Texas sunsets and the sun rising and all that. And it's just beautiful. So I'm sitting here talking to you, and like I'm watching right now, squirrel running across the lawn, and it looks like a sparrow just flew right on top of the neighbor's thing. It's beautiful. But anyway, besides that, I'm happy to say that all of the Kickstarter rewards were shipped out. Today was the last one that went out, which was the biggest one, which was for Ray's Comics Collectibles in California. So thank you, Ray. I had to get a special box for that one because it had everything, a lot of stuff. And so that's going out today. We're getting ready for the launch of issue 2 of There's an Alien in My Toilet. If you haven't signed up, please do so today. If you guys don't know, I am going to Licensing Expo. And so it'd be great. I'd love to break 100 signups by the time I get to licensing. That'll be great to show these potential
at
investors.
At least, don't you love the hail?
No, I don't love the hail. Thank you. I was about to go into the Aurelius segment.
No, go ahead.
Finish
what you were saying.
I was like, yo, Aurelius, don't mess up the mojo. I'm having a good
set. She derails.
Yeah.
She throws it up.
So if you don't know, I will be at Licensing Expo, booth D104. It's a big, one of the biggest investments of my life. And I'm excited to go out there and push Duty out there and Forbidden and the Crazies and everything out there and get my pitch on. But another way of waking up to a beautiful morning, I woke up this morning and it was this amazing video of Aurelius' kids opening up There's an Alien in My Toilet and the coloring book and just hearing their voices and seeing their eyes when they were looking at it. That's the best because that's my target audience, right? And that's the future. The goal is always to attract future readers in comics that are going to grow with us. I know that eventually as they get older, that they'll move on to maybe other things in comics, but we want to keep that comic flow going. So I just want to say thank you, Aurelis, and the kids. That was amazing. Put a big smile on my face this morning when I woke up. It's the first thing I saw. I was like, oh, this is awesome. So that's what's going on there. So what's going on? I mean, I know launch time is coming very quick. We opened up with the trailer of Wonder Duck. You know, you're getting close.
Yeah, it's getting close, man. It's getting close. We're just a few weeks away from launching The Adventures of Wonder Duck on Kickstarter. We're obviously going to have a show for it. So we're going to be here live on Wednesday the 4th at 8 p.m. So join us. Join us on the channel. Make sure you subscribe. Hit the bell so that you know when the show goes live. At 8:30, I'm going to hit the button. 8:30, I'm going to hit the button so that the campaign actually goes live. But I want to thank everyone who's already signed up for the campaign. You guys are awesome. At least I need your information because I do want to send you the PDF version of this bad boy that I'm sending to everyone who signs up for the pre-launch page that's up right now. Let me know that you've signed up if you indeed have signed up already so I can send you that. And then, you know, in the case that you guys want to pledge to it, I will send you a printed copy of that bad boy so that you guys can have at home, hang it up on the wall, do all kinds of fun stuff with it. But it's coming, man. It's coming. It's coming fast and furious. And I'm really excited. I'm getting ready to go on some podcasts and talk about it with some of our podcasting friends. You could just I'll DM you. I'll DM you and I'll get that info for it from you.
Oh, I have it. I could just give it to George.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same information. If you want, I could give. Oh no, I don't have the email.
Email address. Yeah. No, I'll DM her. I'll get it. But yeah, no. So what was I saying?
You were saying that you like my hair.
It's freaking good.
Except looking kind of dashing.
Nice. I wasn't that nice. I wasn't that nice. No, but we're getting ready, man. We're getting ready to launch. Oh, no, I'm getting ready to go on some podcasting shows with some of our podcasting buddies. So stay tuned for that. I will be putting out links on my social medias and stuff like that so that you know where I'm going to be for the foreseeable future. Last night, I was actually on a podcast with Mark Torres. It came from the radio at 7 p.m. I was on there, which is why I wasn't live with Sam, and he was very upset because he forgot he's an old man. Forgets, that we have, things like this. You know, you tell this guy plenty of times, say, hey.
George be rambling.
You say, hey, man, I'm going to be on the show. Kid forgets because, he's busy. He's a busy guy, I understand,
Yeah, he wasn't on the show.
But he was very upset last night. He had and, you know, whatever.
He wasn't on the show. He was actually
whatever. Bro, listen. check the tapes. Check the tapes. But yeah, no. So it's happening. Everything is happening. You know, we're gonna have a really good summer. As soon as Wonder Duck ends, duty begins again.
Yeah, dude. Darius Uranius. I'm excited about him.
So we got some things. We got some things. And again, and to Sam's point, the comics that we're making are for kids. They are for the younger audience because we have to make sure that the industry continues. And the only way it continues is if we reach the little guys, little girls who want to read some of these things so that they sit down there and that way the industry continues. Otherwise, it's going to.
But don't get it twisted. I don't care if you're in the gym and you're juicing up with creatine. You're not too cool for Darius Uranius. I'm telling you right now.
Of course.
Like, first, it's like, look, I enjoy Loud House. Right. I think it's a great animated series. I watched the movie Loud House when they go to Ireland or Scotland and he finds out that his ancestors were dukes, whatever. I think it's beautifully written. I think it's hilarious. I think it's funny. And so if you just enjoy good storytelling, you enjoy, animation, you enjoy cartoons, you're going to enjoy the books that we create. That's bottom line.
But I think that there is an audience. There is a target audience. And anybody can enjoy the books. That goes without saying. It's an all ages book. It goes without saying. My point in what I'm saying is that it is important that we, it's like the video that you showed, and Adelis, thank you so much. Really appreciate what you did there, because the look in their eyes is, I don't care if you're talking about the guys that go to the gym, they're not gonna have the same expression when they open up a book. Okay, they're not. They're just not. That look in the kids' eyes when they open up a book and they see what they see is priceless. It's priceless. Yeah. And it's something that stays with them. And hopefully it makes them want to read more things like this. And that's the point. That's what I'm trying to say about that. Yes. Because anybody can enjoy the books, but it's those impressionable eyes that you want to get on these things. That's why it's important that we do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, I just thank you. I mean, I'm looking at it right now.
Arelis, is it okay if we show your children on TV? before we do this, is it okay? These are our children. Let's check with her first. I mean, it's on Facebook, but we're now on YouTube.
We don't have millions of followers.
It doesn't matter.
But look at that. I mean, just that is the audience.
It's amazing. It is.
Sure. George is always paranoid. But
it's important, dude.
That's what it's all about right there. That's what it's all about. Just look at the eyes. Look at the, I mean, it's just hearing their voices. I mean, that was just awesome. Awesome.
It's beautiful, bro.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That's what it's all about, you know? And so again, I do appreciate your support and thank you so much. It's always a great way to wake up in the morning and see things like this, you know, just reminds you that what you're doing is the right thing, you know?
Look at him. See, that's what I'm saying. Look at that. That's genuine, bro. That's real. Yes. That's not, you know what I mean? That's what it is. I love that. I love it. I love it.
That was awesome.
That was beautiful, man. And she did give the green light. So thank you,
Arelis. Yes, I saw it.
But good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, what do we got to talk about today?
Oh, man, we've got so many things. Listen, we have a list of questions that I came up with last night. I was just thinking about some of the things that, you know, just as independents and as creators and as, you know, people who put things together like this, you know, some topics and stuff like that we can talk about. But it got me thinking, like, you know, you're talking about being paranoid. Should artists with a small following, okay, watch everything we say and do? Are we under a bigger microscope than, say, you know, somebody who has tons of followers, say Todd McFarlane, who can say some of the things he said, because he got in hot water for mentioning, for saying some outlandish stuff just recently. And I haven't heard much about that, but has it affected his sales? Will people stop buying his stuff? Maybe not, because he's so big. But when we're small at this scale, does it affect us more? Should we watch everything we say and do? What do you think, Sammy? What's your opinion on that?
My opinion is use common sense. I just think you don't need to walk on eggshells. I've never been a proponent of that.
Common sense is hard, though, in today's.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? That's it makes it hard because of the where we live now, the state that we're living in now. You know what I mean?
I think everyone. So the woke crew has made it absolutely clear that they're looking for anything and everything to try to justify being a victim. Right? That's basically what it is for me. It's like, oh, you said this and you said that. And I'll give you an example. When I was in retail growing up in the ranks, there are going to be people. See, they always say, be careful with those who are envious, not the haters, because the haters, you see them coming and you know what they're about. It's the ones that are silently envious. They're the dangerous ones, right? So as you move up in the ranks, they're going to be those who feel like they should have got it or you didn't get it. So they're going to look and for anything and anything. Those are the people that you have to be wary of. So things come, you know, 3 years later, next you know, you're in an HR office answering questions or something. You're trying to remember, I don't know anything. What are you talking about? And, you know, that probably something was said over lunch or, you know, whatever it was. So I think you just need to know your audience. There's a time and place for everything. If for artists or creatives, if you're on a social platform, be on your P's and Q's. Be very mindful of that there's going to be somebody that's going to try to poke a hole in your game. There's going to be somebody that resents what you're doing because they felt that they could do it better or whatever it is. And they're probably going to save a clip and they'll wait for that moment that something pops off for you and they're like, boom. This guy's a fraud, or this, that, or they said this, or this person's that. So I don't think you should be walking on eggshells. I just think you just understand your audience and know that there's a time and place and everything. When you're on a platform, when you're working for somebody else, and you're in an organization, you know, you have to walk a certain way, talk a certain way. When you're home, you're home, you know,
that's like Justin Bieber got in trouble telling jokes, telling racist jokes while he was at home.
That's why, like, if someone starts pulling out their cell phones, like, yo, I didn't give you permission to record me. You know, if you're in your home, when you're in a social spot, if you're at a Comic Con and you're going to say some stupid stuff, and you're going to get back stupid stuff.
Yeah. No, I think that communication, like anything else, is key, right?
Yeah.
I grew up, and you grew up. We mm-hmm. grew up in a very diverse environment, right? I grew up. Yeah. I had friends who were Asian, who were Black, who were, you know, who were Spanish, who were white, who were Jewish. From all over. Okay. And growing up, and again, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, you know, obviously the world was a lot different then, you know, when we talk about ragging on each other and dissing each other and snapping and stuff like that, a lot of the things that you used to snap on each other against were, you know, what you ate for dinner, racial jokes, things like that. Those things that were the norm for us ragging on each other. Now, after we did all that and everybody laughed, blah, 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 we were still friends. We were cool. Now, does that make me a racist for partaking in that stuff when I was a little kid? You know what I mean? And so those are the things that, no, but those are the things that today, when you're doing something like what we're doing, if you and I went back and forth right now with some racist jokes, it probably wouldn't be a good look, right? People would be like, what's up with these people?
Yeah.
So because we're small, right? Because we're small, and maybe not because so much because we're small, but what I'm saying is because we're small, we got to be careful, because you're right. YouTube could just shut this channel down and it's a wrap. And what else do we have? Nothing. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to another platform. Another platform is going to give us money.
It gets more dangerous when you're monetized. I think, and I say dangerous loosely, it gets more dangerous when you're monetized, because now you're scrutinized and now you're really under the wire, because now you're making money. So now they're going to be, all eyes are going to be on it. You know, potential sponsors are going to be going into your archives. Let me see if there's anything that's potentially damaging to my brand. You know, so that's where you have to really be wary about that stuff. And so for me, it's like, look, you can say something about somebody's hair and automatically you're racist. And you're just saying, all you're doing is saying, wow, your hair is kind of poofy today. Oh, you're racist because no, man, it's because your hair was bigger than it was yesterday. You know, but people take it out of context.
15 years later, it'll come back to 100.
Yes, exactly. There's a reason why there's 50 episodes of Catch the Craze from the early 2000s that are not available.
Sam, you aren't the most PC person around.
You're not.
Now,
I've never walked in it. You know, it's like,
but I don't think it's, see, this is what I'm saying. Listen, I'll tell you this. I don't like to offend people. I'm just like that. I don't walk around looking to offend. Like, oh yeah, I get a kick out of making you feel. That's not me. I don't do that. I like to joke around. I love, you know, going back and forth. I can take it just like I can dish it. But I don't go out of my way to make somebody feel bad about whatever. You know, it's just not the way I am. I just not like that. So I don't think that's me walking on eggshells. That's just me respecting people's boundaries.
I think what happens is we all should do that, though.
I think we all should respect each other's boundaries. If something triggers you, I'm not going to do it, bro, because we're friends. I'm just not going to do it. You know what I mean?
I think, here's what happens. People like to play, right? And so then my profile is I'm a counterpuncher. So when you start the game, I take the game and I go win. And I play the game to win. So then people don't like the response, right? So don't start something you can't finish. That's always been my approach. And I'm not going to apologize for it. It's always been that way. So even when I was a kid, I grew up on the block. You got the bullies, right? So you got to be ready for those bullies. When the bullies come, you got to punch them in the nose. You got to hit them harder than they hit you.
So for me,
I always had that chip on my shoulder waiting for someone to say something, because underlying jokes, they have deeper meaning and I can hear what the person next to me don't hear. So I'm like, all right, I see where you're coming from. I got you, homie. And that's where I come in. So it's for me, it's like, don't start something. There won't be nothing, because I'm not the guy that's going to sit on the bus and stay quiet. I'm going to guy that's going, oh, you're coming for me. I'm coming for you too.
Yeah, but if grandma's making a joke about you, are you going to come at grandma?
My grandma, I'll rank on her too. I love my grandma.
No, I know. But what I'm saying, no.
My grandma comes at me with her falsies, it's on.
My point is, I think there's a time and a place for aggression to a certain extent. All right? I'm not, if a little kid is making fun of my ears, I'm not gonna be like, well, your nose is big, kid. Like, it's not gonna happen. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I don't know where that example is coming from, but
Just saying, I'm not gonna do that. The example is, there's a time and a place for certain things. I don't look at everybody as an enemy. I don't look at everybody as a friend. Right. You know what I mean? You trust, but you verify sometimes. Yes. And I think that when you're, and going back to the topic, because I think we went a little off topic, but I think that when you're a small guy, right? When you're a small guy and you're saying some of the things you're saying, I don't think you need to watch everything you say, but I think you have to be mindful of how you say.
Just know your audience. If it's a like, for instance, if someone's coming at me on social media, I'm not going to use this platform to go after them. You know what I'm saying? Because this platform is not about them.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? So if we're on the streets, if we're at a bar, we're at a McDonald's or whatever it is, and you're coming after me, you get what you get.
I agree.
If it's on a platform that I control, my thing is silence it speaks volumes. So for me, it's like, all right, you can say all you want on social media. I'm not going to give it to you on social media. But if I see you, we're going to have a different conversation personally, but it's not going to be on social media because this is something that I'm trying to build and it's to promote the other guy. It's not to promote your nonsense. And that's what I'm trying to say. So if you have something and you have a platform that you're trying to promote, don't use it to give back the hate that you're receiving or whatever it is. And also don't use it for propaganda, unless that's the message of your show. If your show is all about propaganda, go for it. Do your thing. If your show is all about going after people, do your thing. Because everyone knows exactly what you're about. But if you're trying to paint one picture and then you go left, then you're going to reap the consequences of that action. Because wait, you're saying, you know, that whole, the Will Smith smacking Chris Rock when, you know, he smacks him, but he goes on, he says, you know, I'm an ambassador of love. What? You just contradicted yourself. So that's where you're going to get that backlash, right? So it's either you're going to be one way or no way. But don't walk on eggshells, but also understand that you got to separate the two. If you're in the business environment, stay focused. You know, if you're outside, there are no rules, give respect, expect respect. The moment there's disrespect, handle it accordingly. That's it.
Listen, I think that when we like, for example, this show, right? We're giving opinions about our stuff, right? I don't think that opinions, having different opinions is wrong. You know what I mean? We, like you and I, you know, we're talking about this. We're going back and forth with it and stuff like that. I think that, and none of us are walking on eggshells at all. You know, we're just saying what we want to say. But again, it goes back to communication, right? Mm-hmm. And communicating clearly to people, this is what I'm doing. Now, if somebody wanted to bash on us, they could probably take whatever we're saying, splice it, and then just put those pieces out. And now all of a sudden we look like jerk-offs because, wait, no, see, he did say that. Yeah, but what is the
context? Sam said he's coming after you.
right? Sam said he doesn't care. He said he'll rag on his grandma. Like, wait, but the context.
Abuelita,
but the context is lost because they just spliced that little piece and put it out there for the world to see. And now they're putting you in a bad light. And when you don't have the following, the big enough following, the little following that you did have are looking at you like, damn, he's like that? Oh, I didn't know it was like that. I'm out of here.
Yeah, that boy tripping.
You know what I mean? So yeah, no, it's, yeah. So that was one of those questions.
But it also goes back to, we talked about that the other day. One of the things I learned was the power of the mind over the hand, right? And when I was a kid. So the reason why a lot of my friends had a lot more fights than I did is because I learned how to have a conversation with the potential opponent or the aggressor. And most of the time, the guys that initially they wanted a confrontation and then we had a conversation, a lot of those guys became my friends because they're like, oh man, this guy spoke to me like a man. You know, blah, blah, blah. It was a misunderstanding, blah, blah, blah. And then next, we hit it off. Next, we're playing basketball together.
Bro, you know what's crazy about what you just said? Not crazy, but another thing, right? That people now, and I hate this, right? Because you just said, we talked it like a man.
Right.
Today, even saying that is found offensive. You see what I'm saying, though? Like, that's where we are. Like, you did not say anything offensive there, right? But just that term, you know, we handled it as a man. can be looked at as offensive now. Yo, Dan, what up, man? That's the world we do. That isn't that crazy? Like,
but you know what's funny nuts. Is that you know what I'm not going to walk around.
No, you shouldn't.
Interpretation of a word.
Absolutely,
you got to deal with your own inner demons and your own insecurities. I've been conditioned this way. You know, from every story starts with from the beginning of man, it's right? It didn't say the beginning of an entity. It didn't say, you know, so it's like I'm at a stage in my life where I can't start going and reprogramming everything and start being like, oh, what should I say? You know, even now with all of these things you got to fill out, is like it has all these questions. How do you identify yourself? Earthling. I was like, could I have one just as earthling? You're human, you know, something, you know, it's like, because it's just too complicated. It's like, it's too, that's why depression's on the rise, suicide's on the rise, anxiety. That's why people are tending to alternative forms of whether it's, you know, liquor or toxins or whatever it is, because it's just too overwhelming now.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell? Slow down.
It's so funny, bro. Cause like we are right now in the conversation. We're at that point where there are so many things that we want to say that we're like, all right, how do I say that so it doesn't come off a certain way? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't want to. That's why we
talk about this all the time. We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion. We don't talk about any of that stuff because that's watching what you say. That is watching what you say. It's just avoiding it at all.
Avoiding.
I just don't want to talk about it. It's not worth it. Yeah,
it's avoid the traps because whenever you go down those slippery slope, there's going to be a that highway patrolman that's hiding in the bushes with that speed limb. You got him, right? So for me, it's like, look, I grew up in a diverse community. All this stuff that's going on does not affect me. That's not how I see people. So I'm not going to have that conversation with you. So if you have an issue with whether it's gender, race, whatever, I grew up with all of that stuff. So I never have a problem with it my entire life. Don't start making it a problem for me now because it's not part of me. So it's your problem. You have that conversation with somebody else. I'm going to go here. I'm going to pick up a comic book. I'm going to get a cup of coffee. I'm going to do another segment of Catch the Craze and talk to a cool independent creator. And that's it. Keep it pushing, homie. You do your thing. I'm going to do me.
Yo, which we have. We've talked to a lot of very interesting independents. We had Johnny C on the show last night. The other night we had Gabe Valentine,
yes,
who is with Lesser Known Comics.
Trendsetter.
We're going to talk to him. I just want to give a big shout out to everybody watching right now. Thank you so much to everybody who's in the chat or who's watching, who's not in the chat also, but who's watching right now. Say hello. Good morning, guys. We really appreciate you coming on. Yes. But yeah, dude, Gabe Valentine, big shout out to him. He's got a Kickstarter right now that is live. It's the name of the book is Digital Lizards of Doom, I believe. And we had a conversation with him, Sam, and you took away some very interesting things. You want to talk a little bit about him?
Yeah, the kid is, in my eyes, is brilliant. In my eyes, I think his approach, number one, he grew up, number one, you got to add the fact that he's very courageous, right? He grew up in a full-blown military family, generational, everybody's military, law enforcement, and he decided to go left, right? He decided to grow long hair, get tattoos, and be a rocker, and then he wanted to make a game, but he said it was too expensive, so he created a comic book that was a game, video game. And he broke all the rules and all the norms of creating a comic book, and he created this series that basically is a prototype for any gaming development company to go and just pick it up and just start producing the game because everything's there, the play, everything. And I thought that was brilliant because most people, they, you know, the majority follow the trend. You have to have a script. You have to have, you know, you have to have the beats. Boom, 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 boom. Right? He's like, I don't want to do that. I want to create a game that's a comic, you know, and I think it was a brilliant approach. And so the question that came up for me was, is breaking all the rules, does it hurt or does it help? And my response was, all depends. It all depends. It all depends on your vision. It all depends on the work that you put in and your focus. And I think, you know, if you're doing it for the sense of breaking the rules, but if you're doing it because you know what, you want to do this, but you don't see how it's going to fit. So you had to go and tweak things and you made it work, and he's making it work. His Kickstarter shows that, You know, and I thought that was pretty brilliant. I think it was very admirable, and I was inspired by him because it started making my think tank go. And I'm like, oh, look at this, right? So I was like, well, there's all these things that I had in the pipeline, and I was like, it just made me start getting more, for the lack of a better word, woke. It's like, wait, hold on. Hold on.
The funny thing is, there's nothing wrong with that word or that term or that, or even that ideology. There's nothing wrong with it. It's when it goes beyond. Like, dude, let's just, it's not just black and white. There's a little gray in here. Can we just kind of like, you know what I mean? Let's not go crazy. But dude, I think it goes back to the adage that, you know the rules before you can break them. Should you be breaking the rules? Dude, if you know what rules you're breaking and you know why you're breaking them, break them. Go for it. You know what I mean? But know them first. Sometimes we don't even know the rules and we try to break them too much.
You know, and we go above and beyond it. You know what I mean? I think that could be also beneficial. If you don't know the gameplay, but you went in and you broke, and you don't know, if you don't know the rules, you're not breaking any rules. You're just creating your rules. Right. So it all depends, because if you don't know and you just create this and they're like, wait, but we did it this way. Well, I didn't know that. That's like
if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, did it make a sound? That, you know what I mean? Like,
ask a squirrel.
You know what I'm saying? So you say that if you don't know the rules, they're still there. The fact that you don't know them doesn't mean that they aren't there. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I think it also could mean
that maybe that was it wasn't your preference. Maybe you weren't into comics, but you used it as a means to create something.
But I'll say this. I think ignorance is bliss, right? And all those cliches, right? Because I think that when you were a kid and you were just creating comics, right? Did you know about beginning, middle, and end? Did you know about plot development? Did you know about any of those things? No, you were just creating a story and you were having fun creating stories when you were a kid. You were just telling stories. Later on, you found out that, oh, snap, what I was doing was I was creating plots. I was, you know, developing characters. I was doing all of that. Didn't even know I was doing it. You know what I mean? But there were rules to it. I think that what Gabe is doing right now, and he said it, he was like, the book reads like a video game, right? The book reads where if you're a gamer, you're like, oh, this is like a game on paper. Like, it just, so he was just doing something that he wanted. He's like, I just want to write a book, basically, that he would want to read. And that's exactly what he did. 180 pages later, for almost every book that he's got, he's got this world. And part of what was inspiring about him was he had, like you were talking about, the Bible. You know, he knew how old the characters were, when they were born, blah, blah, blah. He knew everything to the point where, like, he had a number of years.
He understood game development. He understood that in order to create the game, you needed to have that information. So, and then he's like, well, damn, this is gonna cost me too much money. So I'm going to make it into a comic book. So he broke the comic book to create the game book. You know what I'm saying? And I think it was brilliant on his part. And again, I wouldn't be surprised that this time next year, he has a game in development and maybe a bigger publishing deal. Or I wouldn't be surprised, because I think he has the mental capacity. I think he has the vision, the ambition, the courage to see it through. And and when you see something like that, you know, it's inspiring. You know, so kudos to him and what he's doing, his project. You know, for anybody who doesn't know what that is, check out that episode that we had with Gabe. I believe, where is that? It was episode 411. Check it out and you'll understand, and hit the link in the summary and check out his Kickstarter campaign. It's pretty brilliant, his approach.
What I think he did was
Morning, Johnny.
Johnny, what up? He did his, not just research, but I just think sometimes we're like, we get lazy with it, right? I don't need all that information right now. He was like, nah, let me just do it. So he put together a whole, you know, just library and Bible, encyclopedia of just his characters and all that other stuff. Stuff that we normally, it's a lot of work. And we just don't.
Well, but that's what, that's also, but again, that goes back to the whole gaming world, because I, since you've known me, that's I've always had Bibles, right? You know, it's of you know, because I thought it was important. You have to have the character history, the profiles, the designs, all that stuff.
And if you read a book about writing, they tell you to do that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's one of the rules. But go ahead. What were you saying?
Yeah. Hold on, I'm looking for my banner. Thumbs up if you like this episode so far. There it is. No. And I think that those are the fundamentals that are important. I think what happens is, you know, so there are a lot of cats that because of the lockdown, they said, I'm just going to create a comic book. And they just had an idea. They never created a backstory. They just started going forward. Right. The backstory helps you build on the history. If each character has a backstory and you have a profile and you have an agenda and there's a purpose for whatever the quest is, there's got to be something there that's driving the motivation, that's driving the characters in the world forward. You need those to refer to. That's what helped me with Forbidden. So Forbidden, I put it away for 10 years. It was half written. I had the Bible written, right? I had the character designs written. But, you know, but because I had that, when I went back to it 10 years later, it helped me continue with the series because I went back and read everything. I read back the history, the bios, all that stuff. And I read what was already written. And I said, okay, now I know where I need to go with this. You know, and that's why it serves its purpose. So if you're skipping those steps, you're doing yourself a disservice because you're not going to have longevity it's not going to be as appealing. You want to give it heart. And so those fundamentals are going to help you do that because the characters grow, right? Throughout the stories, right? There's got to be learning lessons. It's got to be something that drives them that makes them go right versus left or up versus down. And if you have that history and you have that timeline, it's going to help you strengthen your brand.
Yeah. Oh, man, I came in at the right time. Yo, Johnny, you missed so much, brother. You missed a lot. You're going to have to go back and rewatch this. We had some really good, really good combos. But to add to the fact that, you know, having that Bible or having that history of your character helps for future stories that you want to tell. Because let's be real. These characters, though they're real in your head, they're not real characters, right? They're not humans. They are still make-believe. And so you can get lost in your story if it's not written down somewhere. I know a lot of people say, oh, no, I got the story right here in my head. Okay, that's cool. But what if you forget some things? You know what I mean? The older you get, the harder it is to remember. Trust me, I know. So it's good to have these things written down. Had you not written those things down 10 years ago, would you still remember some of the cool stuff that you threw in there back then? You'd be like, oh, snap, I forgot I did that. Wow, that's awesome. All right, cool. I can use that.
I forgot half the stuff I wrote.
You know what I'm saying?
Decade, you know?
It was in your head. Fresh.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why it's in my head thing. You know what I mean? It's crazy. But now let me ask you a question, Sam. The solar system. Space.
Outer space. The final frontier.
As a kid, right? What were your influences for how you looked at outer space? Was it books? Was it Star Trek? Was it Star Wars? What was it that really helped you understand the nine planets, you know, the Milky Way and all that other stuff? Did you read books or was it more just what you saw on TV?
It was my uncle. When I was a kid. Yeah. He worked, he made like military grade stuff. And also, the older you get, you have more ideas and less energy to execute those ideas. That's why I keep journals.
Journals. Nice. Dude. That's a good idea right there. As a matter of fact,
journals. I mean, you have to have. I have that's notepads awesome. Everywhere, you know,
me
because
too, bro.
I have it by
me
my bedstand. I have it in the kitchen. I have it in the garage when I'm working out because of the fact that sometimes you'll forget that idea. Yeah. He's like, oh, this is brilliant. I'll write it down later. No, you're going to forget.
Forget, man.
But that's why you need to take – I take brain pills to help keep me focused.
He's got performance enhancing.
I take Alpha Brain. It's not a sponsor, but I take Alpha Brain pills to help keep me focused. My uncle.
You're going to need to take a lot more of those. You lose focus easily. Trust me.
You need them because you never remember anything.
I forget stuff. I try to keep. Listen, when I'm on here, I try to focus as much as I possibly can. I try not to deviate. I focus. Go ahead.
So, but anyway, my uncle was, he was the one, he believed in extraterrestrials. He believed in whatever. So he and I used to sit on, since I was a kid, used to sit under the roof of the garage, and he had a telescope, and he would tell me about the planets, and he would tell me about the Milky Way and all this other stuff. And then he would give me all these magazines for MUFON, which is the Mutual UFO Network. And they would write these articles and whatever, and he'd give them to me, and I'd read them. And so I started looking up extraterrestrials, and I of course all of the other stuff like the black hole and Star Wars and Buck Rogers and Battlestar Galactica. All those things inspired me, but it was actually the time that I had with my uncle that really, really pushed me forward. You have to pay bills, so there's no tension between work Can you pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone bills?
I think that's the biggest hurdle to jump over when we're creating is that, okay, I got to pay the bills, but I also love doing this. So yep. I got to, you know, it's like you try to make time for what you love to do, but you really have to do this other thing to make the money. So yeah, that's a good point, Dave. But yeah, Sam, go ahead, man. So
So that was that for me. That was what it was, and it's, even to when I went to college, I did a whole paper on UFOs, I was going to school from 6 p.m. till 11 p.m. 5 days a week, and because I was going after work, and I remember it was night, we have all these windows in the class, and it's dark outside. I'm doing this thing on extraterrestrials, and I'm pulling up newspaper clippings. The battle over Los Angeles, where the military was attacking an unidentified object. They didn't hit anything, and so it was all over the papers. The whole class was terrified. Like the girls were like, "I'm afraid to go to the train station," and it was great. I got an A, but it followed me all the way through. And you see the alien behind me and duty and all that stuff, whatever. So I've always been fascinated by extraterrestrials. Social media is not going to taint it. I just see that there's a lot of people capitalizing on it. And I'm not sure if all of that stuff is, what's that word where you say, when you've been around death and destruction, that you've been desensitized. I think, when that day comes and the skies open up and they just pop in, and, we will be shocked, or we'll I don't know what the deal was going to be, but anyway.
Well, that's the question, right? Has the understanding of the solar system, been changed by pop culture? And I think it has. I think that we've seen so much on TV and through stories, and we've been, like you said, we're callous, right? There is a callous to it that allows us to say, yeah, like you said, when and if they arrive,
what $30,000 comic grant?
Wow.
Who's giving money away?
Hello. I think that it has changed the way we look at it, the way we look at aliens today. Back in the days, we were scared, right? Like, we'd be scared if something like that happened because, everything's been in, what? That's real? Now it's more like, all right, let's see what happens. I think it definitely has changed. I mean, I was as a kid, I loved astronomy. I loved it. I loved the planets and all that stuff. I think we should bring Pluto back as a planet. You should try. We really got to look into that. $30,000 for a comic.
Yes, we're not that smart.
Not at all. Not at all. Shout out to Dan. Holy cow, man. I think it has. And what do you guys think? Has it changed? And as if you're a small guy or small gal, or just a small entity as far as creators, do we watch what we say? Let us know what you think in the comments. I heard about this at CircWorks. CircWorks is actually a really good YouTube channel for information. I gotta look into that stuff.
Yeah, I never even heard of it.
Yeah. You want to go on a little break, and then we'll talk about the other stuff we're talking about. We've gone long on this one. 15.
Yeah, we got long. You know what? I'm going to remind. Let's bump our buddy at the desk of a small press publisher.
Let's do it.
Hi, I am Joe D. McPhee. I am the host of From the Desk of a Small Press Publisher. And I want to cordially invite you to watch our show Saturdays at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. On our show, we will have different guests as well as talk about the comic book industry and pop culture. And every so often, I might actually do a drawing session or a 3D rendering session every here and there. So once again, I want to invite you to watch From the Desk of a Small Press Publisher right here on the broadcast channel that you're looking at, whether it be Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Hope to see you there, and make certain that you catch From the Desk of a Small Press Publisher at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thanks.
Oh, man. He said, psych, it's over. Yeah, we missed the deadline.
Oh, damn.
Yo, man.
Yo, big shout out to Joe D. McPhee. Thank you so much for that bump. And check out his show on Saturday nights. Love the music. You know, so yeah, check it out. Big shout out to him. Thank you so much. He's a big supporter of Catch the Craze. If you watch his show, he always bumps
Catch the Craze.
So we gotta show him a little love as well. So make sure you check him out.
One originator, the crazy creator.
Easy.
Remember that? give him
what you know. Wait. So now we're hearing that they extended it. Oh, it's been extended. We're gonna have to check that out, dog.
You're playing with my emotions. You're playing with my emotions.
Up and down right now. Up and down.
No, I can't take this anxiety. What's my anxiety pills?
Holy cow.
Martha, bring me my pills.
Oh boy. So Sammy, hit us with the last topic of the day.
Yeah, so we're talking about I happen to see on scifiwire.com 12 graphic novels from Black creators that are getting live action adaptations. And I thought that was fascinating, that when you see how many of these books are being greenlit for films. They pulled this bad boy up. So this is it. This is on scifiwire.com. And so it's no secret that comic books have become the new proof of concept medium choice and medium for choice superhero live action films and TV shows. But until recently, many Black indie comic creators were left out of the pitch meetings. Hey, what about us too? But following the success of Black Panther in 2018, though, producers began actively looking for graphic novels with Black protagonists and diverse characters as source material for live action adaptation. So here's one, Bitterroot from Image Comics. That's a nice cover. Yeah, I like the art style. That artist looks familiar. Who's the artist on that?
I know. Doesn't it look like Ramos? Like,
yes.
It has that look to it a little bit. Yeah. Ramos is more exaggerated. But this has that look, kind of look. It also has that like Todd look, like the lips, the way Todd used to draw, like the girls with, you know what I mean?
Yeah, from Spider-Man. Yeah. Yeah, so that's by Bitterroot, David F. Walker, and Sanford Green, the veteran comic book team behind Power Man and Iron Fist, collaborated with writer Chuck Brown. So that's that one. And then The Banks by TKO.
TKO, gotcha.
Yeah, TK. Louder than love. Louder than
love. It was going to trigger a song. Oh, man.
Black Mask, it's funny what it just says Black. So it reminded me, I saw an interview with Jamie Foxx, and he was talking about that he has this club, and it's really Black owned, and it's about empowering Black creators. And the way he was saying it, Jamie Foxx is a comedian. He's like black. It's hilarious. You got to see that episode. It was funny. Let's see. Prince of Cats by Image Comics. That's another one.
Nice. I love the artwork on this one, too.
Yeah. I like the coloring style, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer.
Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Wow. Is that like, what is it called? Public domain? Harriet Tubman?
Harriet Tubman is a real, I don't know. I mean, I guess.
Yeah. They get the rights for that. So Jason Wise narrative. I like that cover. That looks like that guy Fabio's art.
Is it? I don't know. There's his name. Is the name on there?
No. I don't know. But that cover looks like it was done by. But anyway, it's similar. It looks like it's the writer creator. His comic was on Indiegogo, optioned by NBC in 2015.
Damn,
that means it sat in the shelf.
It takes, yo, dude. You know, that's the thing, man. You get the news that you got picked up or you're optioned for it, and now it just sits. And you're like, okay, I don't know what's gonna happen.
Niobe.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah. Issue one, Stranger.
Really nice covers, man.
Yes, the antagonist, Godhood Comics.
Tyler Martin.
Good versus Evil.
Evil.
Irita. Iready. Comic Republic. That's nice rendering. That's a color.
Look at that gold, man. That gold is sick.
Yeah, it's very nice. And let's see the last one, The Hated. Solid Comics. That's a nice cover too.
I like that cover a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, I bought those up. Let's see. Go back to this. Let's see. What's the chatter been for real? We'll do. I submitted. Yeah. Today. I'm not eligible. Good luck, David. Thank you, man. Have a good day, guys. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for stopping in, man.
The awareness. You know, I gotta get up on that stuff.
Word, I'm about to start Googling.
Yeah, it's like Google. Are you using Google? It's not Google, it's Google. So I thought that was interesting. And I was like, you know what? I don't see there's a huge push for Black-owned creators. I don't see that as much in like anything else. And we were talking about the differences in the Hispanic culture. And how, you know, you have so many different variations, whether it's Puerto Rican, Colombian, Dominican, whatever. So it's I don't see that same push. I just see creativity. And so hats off to all these people who got their stuff optioned. And I think that's like always the end game is to get that stuff out there. We're going to definitely check it out. But it's like we talked about that. And in the music industry, it's huge. Where you get picked up. Who was the rapper that I was watching an interview with that he went solo and he went independent. He was signed with Def Jam Records and he was on the shelf. And then an incident happened at the studio. There was a fight that broke out with groupies. Groupies came to the studio and it was two different cliques of girls and they got into a fight. They broke a $50,000 window at the studio. They damaged a bunch of cars on the property because one of the girls, it was crazy stuff. And so they charged him for all of it. He had to pay all that stuff back.
Damn.
And so he got out of his, you know, then he got out of his contract and he went independent and he immediately reached his stuff and he blew up. Right. But they were keeping him on the back burner because they had their main artists that they were pushing. And, you know, that happens in film as well. Sometimes they'll pick you up and they'll put you on a shelf because they don't want you to affect current sales of a brand that's out there right now. And so you don't know when. Just because it got picked up doesn't mean it's going to get produced. And I think one of the key things, the key takeaways is if someone's looking you have to give them a grace period. This is the window. And if we don't, if we're not in production by this time, then I have the right to pull out, keep the
rights.
The royalty, you know, cause they give you like an upfront, we're going to sign you this and here's I keep the signing bonus. And I take my property with me and I take it to other studios. If you break that, and I think that has to be a stipulation in contracts when you're negotiating, because if you don't have that, your stuff could sit. That's what happened to the Chipmunks. It sat for years before we saw a new Chipmunks and it came out in 3D, the live action show.
Yeah, man, lawyers and contracts are so important when you're at that level, even more so than even, you know, at this level, obviously. And that's why, you know, we always talk about that, the contracts and all that stuff. And it sounds silly at our level or whatever, I guess, to some people, but it's a good way to get used to dealing in that world, you know, in the world of contracts and having lawyers look at stuff and notarize, like all that other stuff. Because at that level where you're talking about, you do need some of those clauses in there that protect you as the creator, to make sure that you get paid for what you created. And it's not just doesn't sit there just because, you know, like you said, they're just waiting for other things to blow up in front of it or whatever it is. But
which is why I think you need to build a diverse portfolio, right? So if a film company wants to option something, then you say, you know what? It's just the film. Merchandising is a whole different negotiation. You got to keep everything separate, you know, and I think that's the one thing you have to be mindful of, because If you give one company total rights to everything, then you're dead to water, and you're at the mercy of whenever and what they want, because things change, trends change, people change, leadership changes. They change hands all the time, and you could be affected by that change. So that's why you want to have different contracts with different studios. You know, have a publishing company with Random House. You know, have a media a film company with Universal. Have a toy line with KB with Mattel. You know. Do different things with different companies, have licenses, you know, gaming with a gaming company. This way you're going to have multiple streams of revenue coming in, and you're not limited and at the mercy of someone else deciding your fate.
It's true. But kudos to those to those creators who have been optioned.
That's really dope.
But yeah, man, it's been another great episode. Thank you guys for joining us today. This has been a lot of fun. Love doing these Thursday morning shows, you know, just get the blood flowing. And hopefully you guys are doing, you know, creatively, if you're watching and you're a creator, you're doing something this weekend creative, working on your books, getting your stuff out there, you know, get motivated, do your thing. What's going on this weekend? Any conventions?
Tomorrow on Catch the Craze, check out the interview we had
with Johnny C.
Surrounded by Death, the writer for Surrounded by Death. And he's also the second half of Indie Comics Relay podcast. So check out that interview with Johnny C tomorrow, and we also talk what was the topic we had. We're talking about vetted
groups on
vetting groups before you join them. You know, so you want to check that segment and get your meds. You know, why is it important to vet the groups before you join them? Because you're not sure what you're going to get into until you're in there. You're like, oh damn, they got me. That's coming up. And any conventions? I don't know. Anybody doing conventions that we don't know about next week?
Post them in the comments. Let us know what you got, what's going on out there. Because, you know, convention season, you know, it's open. It's open season, man. Johnny's going to be doing a few of them. He mentioned Wicked was really good. Wicked, the convention, not the show. The convention in
the show was good, too.
The show was excellent. So that's good. And tonight I'm going to go out and I'm going to check out Beetlejuice on Broadway.
I saw it. It's amazing. I saw it. It is wonderful. It was gifted to me by my staff when I was employed before I became an entrepreneur. And they knew I loved Beetlejuice. That's the reason why I got this house, because the kitchen is striped wallpaper. And like, it reminded me of Beetlejuice. But so I went there, I saw it with my wife on Broadway, and it was magical. I loved it.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm going to go check that out tonight. So
if you're in the front row, because I was in the orchestra seat, be careful, because the main actor, he spits.
I'm up.
He's one of those
first. We're just happy to be in the building. We may have to turn off the lights after the show's over. We're gonna be up there, but
he took make it rain to a whole different level.
All good though. Yeah. So, but enjoy your weekend, everyone. Make sure you catch the Craze tomorrow. Johnny C is on the show, and then we'll see you guys next week.
Yes. And congratulations, Daphne Lage, on another successful Kickstarter launch. She actually sponsored an entire month of Catch the Craze, and she her campaign, she broke records and took it to a whole new level. A lot more backers, and broke her record in funding as well. So congratulations to you. And if you want to sponsor an episode of Catch the Craze, it's as easy as hitting that link in the summary. With that said, we appreciate every single one of you. Thank you for joining. I am Samuel. Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
George the Chima Medina. Peace.
And we are out.